Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Final hour here, Christian Arcand Show, WEEI, live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon, and along with Boston, we're coming to you live all over New England, like Portland and Saco, Upper Valley, Keene, Brattleboro, Springfield, Worcester, Providence, Cape Cod, and the Islands. If you're not in any of those places, don't forget, you can stream WEEI and the Christian Arcand Show anytime you want on the Odyssey app, as well as the iHeartRadio and the TuneIn apps. And if you missed any part of the show, you can always go back and listen to the Christian Arcand Show podcast on Apple, Spotify, and wherever it is that you get your podcasts. Some people in the Twitch chat are saying, Arcand, quit whining. Just go get your real ID. No, I don't want to go get a real ID. That's the whole point. I don't want to go get this new ID. I don't understand why I have to. No one's really done a very good job of explaining why this is necessary. That's my biggest problem with it. Yeah, I know. We're going to all eventually have to get one. When I have to get a new license, I'm going to have to get the real ID. But I'm in no rush. You know, I'm not in any big rush to go get one. And no one has really in any way laid out for me why it's so important, why we all need to get one. I just haven't heard a good explanation for that.
Sorry, it's also kind of just, as we heard in the clip, it's a modest change. It's just like a little gold star on the top right corner.
Right. So, you know, yeah, all right, fine. I'll eventually have to get it, but I'm not in some big rush to, and I also don't get why I have to. No one's really laid out why it's so important. That would help me, you know, like I'd feel more obligated to go get one if someone would tell me why this is so freaking important that we all have it. Even though they came up with the idea 25 years ago, no one has done anything about it. And it's, you know, until now, and we've done okay for the last 25 years, I thought. I'm not sure how this new idea is going to help anything for us when it comes to air travel, but I guess that's neither here nor there. Anyways, it is 9 o'clock. The Giants are on the board. Giants just scored a touchdown. Jackson Dart, after getting absolutely destroyed by Christian Ellis, bounces back and hits Shepard there for a 30-yard touchdown strike. Darius Slayton for a touchdown and putting them on the board. It is 17-7. The Patriots now driving back the other way, trying to add to their lead. They have the ball on their own side of the field. They're on their own 30-yard line now, second down. Drake May, 8 for 11, 83 yards, and a touchdown so far in this game. All right, it's 9 o'clock. I don't know what Joe Braverman has cooked up for me, but we're all going to find out together right now.
Yeah, so I don't have any fancy music or whatever, so we're just okay. going to get right into it. What I just thought here is I'd like to maybe rehash some memories regarding the Patriots and the Giants. I know they're not good memories, but just rehash some memories and maybe ask some questions about them. Obviously, at least for my memory, goes from 2007 beyond, so I guess we'll start there. Did you, obviously you know this, but general vicinity, you know that the Patriots and the Giants met in the regular season finale before... Yes. The Super Bowl. Now, my question that I want to pose to you is, outside of obviously the big play being Tom Brady and Randy Moss setting the touchdown records on the same play, what are some of your memories from that regular season finale at the time?
So I think I was home because I was still living in Colorado at the time. And I think I was home for the holidays for that. I feel like I watched that last game in Boston. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong about that. What I can tell you about this is that the 2007 Patriots undefeated season lost Super Bowl was the night I did one of the manliest things I've ever done in my whole life. And I've sired a child. I've done some manly things, but this might have been the most manly thing ever that I've ever done. The Patriots lost, obviously. And I was at my friend Tom's house. It was him and a bunch of guys all lived together. And we had this big group of people at the house. They were just like 13 people there. And we were all gathered in the living room. We were all, you know, sitting around. I was the only Patriot fan there. Everybody else was like a Bronco fan or a fan of some other team. But that year, if we weren't a Patriot fan, you were rooting for the Giants. Everybody was. Everybody was rooting against the Patriots. It was unanimous. Except for me. And after that last pass hit the ground, I walked into the kitchen. And I don't often do stuff like this. I just don't, you know. But I walked into the kitchen and I just punched the kitchen wall as hard as I could. And what I didn't know is that the kitchen wall was not really a wall at all. It was just spackle in between some studs. And it was a pretty thin layer of spackle. And what I thought was going to be met with, you know, like punching a wall, I punched right through the spackle, right through it, and put a hole right in that kitchen wall in Tom's kitchen. And it was pretty manly, let me tell you. Punching through about a centimeter's worth of plaster with all the rage that could be built up in the 25-year-old guy whose team just lost an undefeated season. And I remember walking back into the room and being like, Tom, I punched a hole in your cat. I was like, I was trying not to like sound like badass about it, but I felt kind of like a badass. I was like, yeah, you know, I just punched the hole in your wall. He goes, what? And I went and I showed him and he goes, oh, okay. And so I had to go to the hardware store and get like spackle and, you know, just spackle the thing over. And what's sad about it is that since I punched through it, it kind of cut my arm a little bit, like the jagged spackle, the jagged plaster, like cut my arm as I punched it. And so I remember the next day, someone saw my arm and saw this like long scab on my arm. And he goes, wow, you really took that Patriots loss hard. I was like, no, that's not what this is. What happened is I punched through the kitchen wall. It was super manly, man. You should have been there. I punched right through the wall. It was really cool. I wasn't sad. I wasn't trying to kill, you know, it wasn't anything like that. That's not what this is. They were like, sure, Arcand. Yeah, okay. Let's get you to a hospital. In terms of like manly things I've done in my life, punching the hole in Tom's wall is probably like top five. I would say top five in terms of that. So that's the main thing I remember from Patriots Giants.
Yeah, mention that story again without all the little discretions you had to put. Just say you punched a wall, and that sounds manly enough. You didn't do that for the second time they met in the Super Bowl, did you?
No. Second time I was back here, it was a different kind of game, too. I mean, that, you know, like it wasn't an undefeated season. The game was, wasn't there like a safety in the first quarter of that game?
It was the incomplete pass from Brady, but he threw it in the end zone, so they called it a safety.
I thought it was like an intentional grounding.
That's what it was. He was in the end zone, he threw it, and they called it intentional grounding.
Yeah, he threw basically a pass to nobody. And there was a safety in that game. I remember that game was frustrating down at the end when they were trying to let Ahmad Bradshaw score. And, that was another tough one. But really, I mean, what you remember the most about that is just the pass rush. You just remember Justin Tuck and Michael Strahan and all those Osu Manura and those guys just barreling down. What Justin Tuck did to Matt Light, and Matt Light was a great player, but what Justin Tuck did to him in that Super Bowl was just, oh, my God, should be illegal. That's mainly what I remember is I just remember Brady watching that invincible team just get taken apart by a team that was what 8-8. They weren't even really that good. They were 8-8 with some studs up front, and they just did Coughlin and those guys not intimidated by the Patriots, not scared of them at all. May have been because of that game, because of that finale. When was that? Did you check the date on that? Would I still have been home during that? Was that during the Christmas season?
That game was December 29, 2007.
December 29th. I wasn't by. I knew I'd watched that game in Boston. I was home for Christmas, and, you know, it was one of those games you watch, and you're like, oh, that was pretty close. I was almost lost it there to a team that's, you know, they weren't bad. Giants weren't a bad team. But they were a middling 500 fringe playoff team. That's what they were at that time. You weren't worried about them. And then they got hot in the playoffs, boy, and they just never cooled off. And that pass rush, those guys, oh, man, they absolutely tortured Tom Brady, and they tortured those tackles. And that's what you remember the most. And, you know, even when the teams were really good after that, even when the Patriots had great teams after that, Denver Broncos, similar thing, Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware. They had that other guy, I forget his name, the big kid in the middle there, who ended up going to the Jaguars. I forget the defensive tackle, but those guys, I mean, they were just, they were monsters too.
You're not thinking Jason Pierre-Paul, are you?
I'm not thinking Jason Pierre-Paul. No. Okay. He was Malik something. Malik something, I forget his name. But either way, you know, that's usually, that was how you beat the Patriots back then. It wasn't easy to do. Not a lot of teams were able to do it. But when you did it that way. You beat them that way. Especially in that era, in the Randy Moss, Wes Welker era, when those guys were all healthy and they were all there, that's how you did it. Whoa, who was it?
No, I couldn't. I thought you were about to tell me.
All right, doesn't matter.
Follow up. Do you think if the Giants beat the Patriots in that regular season finale, they could have beat them in the Super Bowl?
If the Giants beat the Patriots, could the Patriots have beat the Giants?
Yeah, like if the roles were reversed in that regular season finale, if the Patriots lost instead of winning and finishing the undefeated regular season, could they have then followed it up in the Super Bowl by beating the Giants?
I don't know. It's like a double hypothetical. It's hard to really pin down. I mean, it's possible, I guess. I think that it's not like the Giants blew them out. You know, it was a close enough game. But yeah, I think if they played that game 10 times, no matter how that finale went, I think if they played that Super Bowl 10 times, the Patriots probably win like 7 or 8 of them. But they didn't win that one, and that's all that mattered. You had to win that one day, the one that they actually played, and they didn't.
Okay, well then, let's shift to that second Super Bowl then. That one's not as heartbreaking. Just a couple of names on that roster that I have very fond memories of. I think of Victor Cruz. He had a nice little, 2-year run, I want to say, of being a top-tier receiver.
Malik Jackson is the guy in the Broncos. I was thinking of Malik Jackson. Thank you. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, but anyway, like just that 2012 game, obviously Mario Manningham, Ahmad Bradshaw,
yeah, right.
Brandon Jacobs. Like, what are some of your memories from that Super Bowl game?
The Manningham catch, I remember, was a big one. That was just the backbreaker. And it was like, who the hell is Mario Manningham? David Tyree in the first one, and now it's Manningham. Who are these people? You know, who are these people that are beating this Patriots team? You know, it's just, it was hard to face that. But it was a little bit easier the second time around. The only problem was at that point, the Patriots had gone 7 years without a Super Bowl championship, which was very, very tough for all of us. I don't know how I got through it. And they would go 3 more without one, too. So, I think after that one, after 2007, people still assume that the Patriots would be back. After 2011, Brady was getting older. They had lost to the Jets in the playoffs, like in the first round the year before. They got knocked out by Baltimore in 2009. It seemed like 2011 was kind of going to be their last chance at it. Their last time. This is, if they're going to win another Super Bowl, they got to do it now, because the 2 years prior to this, they were 1-done. You know, and they lost to Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez. Like, that was a pretty low point in 2010. So to get back there in 2011 and then lose, I think that's when a lot of people sort of determined, okay, that's it for Brady and Belichick. They're not going to win ever again. That was their last chance. Hard to get to a Super Bowl. That was their last chance to really do it. And, you know, 3 years later, they were back with Darrelle Revis. But those 2 years in between, 2012, 2013, there were some real problems there. That secondary was a real mess. And when they ended up getting serious about it and trading for Revis and signing Browner, then, you know, things started to pick up. And then Butler took over after that. But, you know, 2011, I think that was sort of the prime narrative there, was, you know, this was it. This team is, the run's over, the reign's over. They had one last chance to go in there and do something, and they couldn't do it. Did they just try and fake that, or was that a botch play?
That definitely looked like a botch play out of the corner of
my
eye.
Did he trip? Yeah, it looked like he tripped. Okay. Well, all right.
That's Young Wei Koo.
Young Wei Koo. Giants were trying to kick a field goal there. And looks like Looks like we had a little stumble there, a little stumbleina. How does that happen? How does a kicker who all he does is line up to kick, kick the ground like that?
You know what I did kind of see a little bit? The ball kind of skidded out from under the holder, so it might have been that right before he kicked it.
Yeah?
That's like, you got to go back to super slow-mo for that, though.
I guess, but even still, like, you start your kick, you go into the motion. Even if you're gonna, even if the ball is moving, don't you just keep kicking through it, you know? I don't know. I have to see that one again. But, yeah, not great. Not great for the Giants. Pretty good for the Patriots.
Well, it's actually funny, speaking of kickers, because my last question was going to be, you know, there is one person that we have to thank for the Drake May era, or one of the people on the list thanking Drake May era, and that's Chad Ryland. Did you know? Do you remember in 2023 Chad Ryland missing that field goal that would have helped the Patriots beat the Giants in that 10-7 game that was absolutely abysmal? It was the first game for Bailey Zappe. And
right, and they had just lost like 6-0 too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get to the Chargers, I think. So, yeah, it was like a couple of games where they weren't scoring any points. Or maybe that happened after that. I can't remember. But, yeah, Chad Ryland, refresh my memory. They had a chance to tie the game, and Ryland missed the field goal.
Yeah.
I don't really remember that too clearly. It's probably just another one of the many lowlights of that season, but okay, so that put him in the position to get the third overall pick. They draft Drake May, and the rest is history. Yeah, I don't really remember that one quite as much, but yeah, any little thing like that, any little piece of lore like that that leads to Drake May, I mean, assuming that his career continues like this, then that's good news. Let's go to the phone. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Johnny's in Brooklyn with a thought on the Patriots jerseys tonight. Go ahead, Johnny.
Arcan, what's up, buddy? Thanks for taking the call. Full disclosure, I'm watching the game in delay because I had to put my kid to bed, but you guys didn't ruin it for me. I feel like we're in the lead, but I don't know. Anyway, they're wearing red. Are we ever going to get the 90s blue again? And then I want to ask you this also. Did you watch Sunday Night Football last night?
I sure did.
Did you notice Collinsworth and Tirico repeatedly calling Mariota Mariota and Mariota? Like, what was going on with that? Anyway, 90s blues, and what was up with that? Thanks for taking the call, buddy.
You got it, Johnny. Thanks for checking in. Always good to hear from you. Apparently, Mariota is the right way to pronounce it. And no one ever corrected the whole world, I guess, for how long is Mariota? He was drafted the same year as Jameis Winston. That was like, what, 2012?
2014.
So for 11 years, we've just been saying it wrong, and no one in Mariota was never like, guys, it's Mariota or Mariota, whatever they're saying. I forgot already.
He's a Hawaiian that makes you say the name like an Italian.
Right. And as I said before, it's kind of like the reverse Kayshawn Booty, because people were going out of their way to purposefully mispronounce Kayshawn Booty's name. He never once said, hey, that's not how you say it. It's Booty or Boute or whatever the hell they were saying. He never said that. He never came out and said that. And when he was asked directly about it, they said, "What? How do you say your last name?" He goes, Booty. It's Booty. Just Booty. And I guess people thought saying Booty, that can't be Booty. But yeah, whoever it was that was calling him Booty, that was the worst. I don't think it was Collinsworth. I forget who it was, but that was obnoxious.
He's going, and he's got him! Boutte touchdown!
Boutte? Okay. Yeah. That's how it's pronounced. As for the jerseys, the Bledsoe Blues, I thought this would be the year, because before the season started, and this isn't the first year that they've had this, but I went down there, and they are all stocked up with jerseys you can buy from that era. And I figure, well, if they're selling jerseys from that era, then the next logical step is that they're going to go out there and play in those jerseys. The Chargers has played in their 90s jerseys, those old, when Drew Brees was there the first time, like those old blue, little Danian Tomlinson ones. Like,
yeah,
those,
the navy blue.
Yeah, the navy blues. They were out there in those navy blues. You can do more than one throwback. It's not against the law. But the Patriots, they're really like sort of slow playing this, I guess. I think they should have the Bledsoe Blues. I absolutely agree with that. I love those jerseys, and I think they'd look great on this team. But Not going to be this year. Probably have to write some more strongly worded letters there, Johnny in Brooklyn. All right. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. That was a look back at some Patriots Giants memories over the years, including the manliest thing I've ever done in my life.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Christian Ellis is out there just leaving chalk outlines all over the field. He just hit Gunnar Olszewski so hard, causing a fumble. And Olszewski, they just showed him getting walked off the field by two guys, and he didn't look like he was... He looked like he needed both guys to get off the field. Let me put it that way. Ellis, I mean, he's a big, big hitter, boy. He is.
Patriots special teams.
He's cracking guys out there tonight. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We will get to the Arcan Fire here in just a moment, but first... JP and MP, my guy JP in North Providence is here. What's up, JP?
I and Mike Arcan, I have some really important questions. I've got three of them for you. First of all, was it a hook, an uppercut, or a right cross when you put it through the wall?
Overhand right. Just I was mad and I went to punt and I was expecting resistance and I didn't get it. Just boom, right through it. But yeah, it was like an overhand right.
Okay, that's good. Second question, how long, like most men, did you brag about it afterwards? A week, a month?
A while.
Apparently you still are.
It's 18 years. But it's about that. It wasn't really so much because, you know, it wasn't like I punched through like a piece of wood or something. It was just plaster. It was just spackle, basically. So it wasn't that impressive. There was a lot of witnesses.
In 10 years, make it, you know, like... hard wood, you went through a beam, you know. Last question, since then, have you ever done any of the punching bags like at Old Orchard Beach or any of the carnivals there to see how hard you can really punch? That'd be interesting.
I have not.
That might be a good remote.
I remember there was a bar in Boulder. Thanks for the call, JP. Always good to hear from you, my friend. There was a bar in Boulder called the Walrus that had one of those punching bag games. But I could punch pretty hard. I did okay in those games, but I didn't like those games. I didn't like them because guys would just start going crazy on them, and then they just want to turn around and punch somebody in the face. You know, it's just, I don't know. As a bar owner, someone who worked in the bar industry, whenever I was working in a place that had one of those things, it always, like, I felt like it always led to just guys getting, turning into meatheads, and you have to break up fights, and that's just what it makes me think of. It makes me think of breaking up fights, you know. But, yeah, I can punch relatively hard. I don't think it would, like, hurt Ted Johnson if I punched them or something, but, like, you know, probably wouldn't feel good. Anyway, Let's get to the Arcan Fire right now.
It's time for Arcan Fire on the Christian Arcan Show. This is WEEI.
Well, we've had a fun second half of the show, so let's keep it going with the Arcan Fire, and I'm going to need Zach's help on Twitch for this one. As you said you were watching the Sunday night game, Broncos and Commanders, and there was a play that Treylon Burks made that was really a jaw-dropper for me. I hadn't had those kind of plays in a while, but Treylon Burks goes up, makes a ridiculous one-handed catch. I know Tirico and Collinsworth were on the broadcast trying to argue, is it better than OBJ's back in 2014 or whatever? I still say no. Collinsworth was saying, oh, it's in the neighborhood. Where do you rank this catch from Treylon Burks?
It was right up there. Burks, I don't remember. Did Beckham have someone like yanking on his jersey like that? Because the DB for the Broncos had, you know, it was right on him. I think Beckham did too. But I don't know. Now when I think of Beckham, I think of just him reaching backwards, and I don't think of the defender. If he had someone draped over him like that too, then I'd take it back. But it's right up there. I don't know if it was the best catch of the weekend, though. Did you see Brock Bowers? Brock Bowers' catch, the Raiders against the Chargers? I mean, they got their ass kicked. But that was an incredible catch in the end zone with a guy draped all over him, caught it right off the ground in the end zone for a touchdown. That was an awesome, awesome catch, too. But
follow-up,
yeah.
Did you see Puka Nacua's?
And Nacua's was also a big one, too. I'd say, for me, it goes maybe Bowers and Burks, 1A and 1B, and then Nacua after that, but they were all awesome. And good for Burks, too, because that was a guy, he got drafted by the Titans. What? Oh, yeah, there's the Bowers play. Look at this. He's falling backwards, reaches out, catches it, keeps it off the ground, and survives through the catch with a guy right there on him and that ball not thrown particularly accurately for where he was. But, yeah, I mean, he does, like, almost the full 180 the other way and catches that ball. That was awesome.
You do make a good argument. I'd still say Burks, but that's a really good argument.
I mean, that was a sick catch. They were all great plays, no question about it. And good for Burks, too, because the Titans traded A.J. Brown and then drafted Burks to, like, be his replacement, and he never really caught on in Tennessee. Him and Tannehill, they were never really much of a thing. Talented player, but couldn't really find a way to be productive in that offense. And now with the Commanders, they're not, like, great or anything like that, but it does seem like he's sort of coming more into his own a little bit. And maybe next year with Daniels when he's back from his injury and, you know, McLaurin and Samuel and all three of those guys can really put together that offense they were hoping for, because this has been a major setback year for them.
I'm going to stay with the NFL for this one. A story came out earlier this evening about how bad things are, I guess, in Philadelphia and the Eagles. The New Jersey home of Eagles offensive coordinator Kevin Petullo was vandalized with eggs early Saturday morning. Eagles fans are so fed up, they are egging the offensive coordinator's house. So, question one, what do you think of the story? Question two, have you ever egged anybody's house?
I've never egged anybody's house. I've never TP'd anybody's house. I, you know, when we moved out to the suburbs, the kids I hung out with didn't really do that. It wasn't really a thing. I didn't really hear much about that going on either. But always looked like a good time. The eggs, I mean, that's a little aggressive. Toilet paper at the very least, you know, there's nothing. It's not great, but it's not quite as offensive as getting hit with an egg, first of all, which hurts. And then all of a sudden you got egg all over you. Like, that's a double whammy. That sucks. The egg thing. And if you have to, like, clean it off your house or clean it off your car or whatever, that was gross, too. I've never been egged, but I have never thrown an egg at someone or anything in, like, anger like that before. So I can't say that I have. But doing that, I don't know. I feel like some of these teams, like, with the Steelers, they were all booing the Steelers off the field and chanting the fire Mike Tomlin and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, you guys realize that you're not bad teams, right? Like, you realize the Eagles are still going to be a playoff team. You realize the Steelers are tied with the Ravens at the top of that division, right? Like, yeah, it's not great, but can you relax? It's not like you're some piece of garbage, bottom-of-the-barrel team, you know, sitting here complaining. Yeah, you're not leading the league in everything this year, Eagles. Oh, no, coming off your Super Bowl win, you're finding it's not as easy to just blaze through the league. Oh, boy, what, you're going to go egg your defensive coordinator? Give me a break. You know, like that. Not that it's okay, but I'd understand it if it was in Tennessee or something. You know, if it was some actually bad team and they had been bad for a long time and you were just so frustrated you couldn't put up with it, like the Jets, for example, or the Browns, or the Raiders, or, you know, somebody like that, the Saints, the Cardinals are another one. Like, there's a lot of bad teams out there. You're not one of those teams. Eagles fans, relax. But it's Eagles fans. You know, they have that reputation for a reason, I suppose. And Pittsburgh fans, I'm a little disappointed with. You want to move on from Tomlin, fine. But you should give that guy credit that he deserves at the very least. He has kept that team competitive. He has kept that team relevant, even for years when they probably shouldn't have been. So, you know, yeah, you can beg and plead for him to move on from him. But careful what you wish for is what I would say to Steelers fans.
Yeah, he's never had a losing record.
Yeah, and I know it's been kind of schmeh lately, but okay. You think it's really his fault? You think that's the reason things aren't going great is because of Mike Tomlin? Okay, if that's what you want to say. And even with this down year that they're having, they're still first place, tied for first place in the AFC North. So, you know, relax, you babies.
That's a good way to transition. Chill out, you babies. I like that one. For this last one here, do you have a Spotify account?
I don't. I have Apple Music.
Okay. So, I'll then play the hypothetical game with you because around this time each year, Spotify puts out their Spotify Wrapped. We don't have it yet. It's bound to come soon, so we'll probably get that in the near future. But if you had to guess, if you had Spotify, Spotify Wrapped similar to your Apple Music, what would you think?
Apple Music does do a thing like that, too.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, they do. They tell you, like, the top albums you listen to, the top song that you listen to. Stuff like that. I know for sure. I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure that I know what mine are going to be.
We'll revisit this later, but just give me your projections for what you think.
So what I think it's going to be, and I would have to go back over and just see which one I probably played more, but it's all stuff that I play for George because he's very small. My son is 3 years old, and he really enjoys repetition. He's very into the same song over and over and over again. So I think that leads me to believe that my top song is either going to be Finger Family. Are you familiar with Finger Family? It's kind of a creepy song, but it just goes to go through the whole family. There's mommy finger, daddy finger, brother finger, sister finger, and baby finger. And you know, daddy finger, where are you? Here I am, da, 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 da. It's awful. I mean, it's awful. I have to listen to it all the time. And I don't know if they sing it in school. I don't know where it even came from. I think he probably saw it on his iPad and it's a catchy little tune or whatever. But I don't like it because it's daddy finger and mommy finger. And I don't know. I don't like saying that. But that's probably number one. I'd say number one's probably the Finger Family. Number two would be any combination of like the Minion songs where they're just singing in gibberish. It's like YMCA, but it's just the Minions and it's not actual letters or words or anything. I sound like an old jerk right now, but the Minions, they're cute and everything. But I feel like they're really setting back, like, children these days, you know? Because these songs have real words. And instead of that, they want to hear the Minion gibberish. And this is in their formative years when they're learning words and they're learning letters and sounds. And instead of, you know, wanting to hear actual words and learn what they mean and what they are, they're just hearing gibberish from the Minions, and that's it. And they're stupid. They're three. They don't know. They don't know that those aren't real words. They have no idea. You know, like, you have to tell them, no, they're not actually singing. Those aren't real words. Like, they have a version of Barbara Ann, right, by the Beach Boys, but it's banana, ba, 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 na, 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 and then it's just gibberish after that. They don't say any actual words, just weird syllables and stuff. And so I started playing the actual Beach Boys version for George because there's real words in it. And I was like, oh, maybe he'll learn some words with this song that he sings. And instead he goes, no, Minions, play the Minions one, which is nonsense. So, yeah, listen to this. They don't say any words. This is probably number two on my list. Number three, I'd say, is, I don't know. I don't listen to anything enough, like, myself, that would even probably make the list. That would crack into the there's one song that George and I both like. We both like Polka Face by Weird Al Yankovic. He likes that one a lot. He's into Weird Al, but, like, he has to be in the mood for it. I'm in the mood for Weird Al all the time. Doesn't matter. Day or night, I can listen to Weird Al. George has to be in a very specific mood for it. But when he is, we play it on the way to school. Oh, yeah, he also likes that song. It's like a dance hall song called Danza Kuduro. I forget what the guy is, but it's all in Spanish. And he really likes it. We were at this New Year's Eve thing last year at Foxborough, and there was a DJ. And the DJ started playing that song, and George runs up to me, gives me his hat, and goes out on the dance floor and starts dancing. I didn't even know he could dance. I'd never seen him dance before. And they put that one on. Danza Kuduro, I think. I forget the guy's name. Don Omar. Maybe, who sings it? But yeah, that's probably on there. I bet that's like 3 or 4. And that's about it. I don't know. There's other ones, but those are the main ones. Those are probably the top like 3 or 4.
It's time to go behind the glass for the producer's point on the Christian Arcan Show. Here's Joe Braverman.
Like I said, we'll revisit that later once it officially comes out for Apple Music. Okay, my point tonight. I don't want to talk anything that I thought ahead of this Patriots game, because obviously they're in progress and they're crushing it right now, 27-7. But, you know, you kind of talked about it earlier about what a win and a loss would mean.
Right.
I think for me, I'm neutral. Like, I will feel more if this remains a blowout. Nothing will change. It's kind of similar to the Jets game on Thursday. We know the Giants are bad. We know how bad they are offensively, defensively, special teams. We're looking at it all throughout this game. So this doesn't move the needle for the team for me. Now, if this could move the needle back in Drake May's favor for MVP. But I think he's got to continue to have a really good game. I know the numbers aren't flashy right now, but I think if he can end the night with maybe 3 or 4 touchdowns, finally break that 300-yard mark, he can insert himself back into the MVP conversation. So while things are looking great for the Patriots themselves, this game doesn't do anything for the team, whether they win or lose, but it will do a lot for Drake May if he can have a very strong performance.
How are these numbers not flat? He's 16 of 20 for 208 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 143.3 rating.
Well, just
how's that not a flashy number?
Well, it's just not yet.
For one half of football,
I'm looking in the idea of like what are the voters thinking, because they're still probably going to give Matt Stafford the benefit of the doubt of how good the Rams are, but he just had a setback this past Sunday losing to the Panthers. Yeah. So if Drake May can go even more than what he's doing right now, then he gets himself back into that near top of the ladder, because I still think he's top 3 right now. But it will be a real discussion.
No, he's 2 right now. It's Stafford, him, and then Taylor, right? I mean, that's still the top 3. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think the conversation gets louder if he has even better numbers than what he's putting up right now.
Okay. We're just about to the first half here. Borregales, the Aurora Borregales, coming out to kick a field goal, a 28-yard attempt. As soon as that goes up through the uprights here, then we'll take our final break of the night. We'll come back with clickbait, which I just realized I never sent you one. We're going to make up clickbait during this commercial break, because I put it off. I got wrapped up in the show and all this fun stuff we've been talking about. I kept meaning to go back to it, and I never did. So here's what we're going to do. The Patriots leading the Giants 30-7 at the half. I guess Brian Burns was not really onto anything there, because Drake May is taking that defense apart. The run game, running. I mean, listen. Ramondre Stevenson and Travion Henderson are both averaging about 6 yards per carry. They have 10 carries combined and about 60 yards. So, I mean, that's pretty good. But really, it's Drake May, Hunter Henry, spreading it out all over the field. Touchdowns to Kayshon Booty and to Kyle Williams. Patriots looking like an easy, easy win here in prime time. And everybody who was worried about this game, me. Looks pretty dumb. So we'll get to clickbait, whatever that is, next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Couple of minutes left here. Time for clickbait. Real quick, Zach just walked in here. Said, hey, check the odds for MVP. They changed in the last couple hours. Drake May now minus 115, the favorite for the MVP. And we're only at halftime of this game. Matthew Stafford at plus 120. Those were flip-flopped before this game started. Jordan Love now at plus 1,400. Third, Dak at plus 1,500. Josh Allen, 27. Caleb Williams, plus 4,000. What happened to Jonathan Taylor? He's plus 10,000. He's way down. So right now it's May, Stafford, Love, Prescott, Allen, Caleb, Darnold, Nix, Taylor, Herbert, Hurts, Smith and Jigba, Mahomes, Indiana Jones, Goff, Mayfield, Jackson, Gibbs. That is, those are your MVPs right there. Drake, man, I mean, listen, he could have a terrible second half, I suppose. I wouldn't bet on it. Not the way this game's going. This game's a boat race. And the Giants are falling way behind. But that's not what we're here to talk about at clickbait as we are at the half. Patriots enjoying a big, big lead, 30-7 over the New York Giants. I'd love to talk more about it, but I have to be off the air here in about 4 minutes. So for clickbait today, I want to tell you what the word of the year is. Oxford University Press, they published the Oxford English Dictionary, has named their 2025 word of the year. And it's actually two words. Rage bait. Rage bait is the word of the year, despite being two words. Rage bait is defined as online content deliberately designed to elicit anger or outrage by being frustrating, provocative, or offensive. The term refers to manipulative tactics used to increase traffic or engagement online. It's like clickbait. But instead of trying to get you to click because you're interested in what's going on, they're just trying to piss you off. That's all it is. That's pretty much all Twitter is now. If you scroll through Twitter, it's all just rage bait. That's all it is. You can't really find anything, whether it's sports, whether it's politics, music, any topic, really. It's just a bunch of people all trying to find a way to say something that'll piss off enough people that they'll go into the comments and the replies and view the thing a million times and say, bleep you, you're an idiot, I hate you, and da da da. hey, idiot, I can't believe you don't know that. And it's just people deliberately misunderstanding things or misrepresenting things or whatever on purpose just to get the most people to tell them how dumb they are. That's what they're shooting for. That's what they're going for.
Also known as the Cam Newton.
It's kind of Cam Newton-y. I feel like a lot of Cam Newton stuff is rage bait. He doesn't mean for it to be rage bait, though. It's not like calculated rage bait. It's just enraging because he doesn't, you don't know what the hell he, there's no substance to what he's saying. It's the same kind of idea as rage bait, but I feel like people who post rage bait are doing it deliberately.
It has fool's gold written all over it.
Like, I think he thinks that's a good argument. Like, I think that he thinks he's really killing it. But it's basically just rage bait. Usage of the term has increased threefold in the last year. The other ones, such as AI slop, that's another big one that's been, a finalist for, and again, two words, AI slop and parasocial. What is parasocial? I don't know what that even is. I know what AI slop is, obviously. Parasocial is the word used to describe a relationship in which a person feels like they know a celebrity on a personal level, even though they've never met them. That's parasocial, I see. Okay. So, like, let's say someone was a really big fan of the show. I know, hard to imagine, right? But let's assume that there's some very disturbed person out there somewhere that is a huge fan of this show. And you kind of have to be pretty disturbed to be a fan of the show in the first place. But let's take it a step further. Despite having never met me, they feel like they, you know me and they know, you know, my friends and, you know, that type of thing. I see. I guess that was a big thing this year, I guess. I don't know. Not as big as rage bait, that's for sure. The president of Oxford Languages says the fact that the word rage bait exists and has seen such a dramatic surge in usage means we're increasingly aware of the manipulation tactics we can be drawn into online. Yeah, are we, though? Are we? Are we all really aware of it? There's a reason why rage bait works, right? There's a reason why people who post nothing but rage bait get millions of views and millions of comments and retweets and all that stuff. Rage bait does work. It does. I should get into rage bait. I can't. I'm too honest. I can't lie to you people. I can't intentionally mislead you.
Yeah, you create rage bait, just not intentionally.
It's true. It's one thing me and Cam have in common. That and our, you know, incredible physiques. That's all the time we have here tonight. Want to say thanks to Chris Price. Second half of the Patriots game. If I leave now, I could probably catch it. Everybody enjoy the rest of your evening. We're back for a full 4-hour show tomorrow night. And the Six Rings post-game show will be airing right here on these airwaves later on tonight. Joe Braverman, great job as always. Stay tuned after the game for Six Rings. Andy and Fitzy will have you late into the night. I'm out of here. Good night, everybody.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
there was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.